If you have your Bible, would you please stand and pray with me as I pray that God would open up his Bible, his word to us and talk to us, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we need you, God. Father, forgive me of my sins, Lord, as I bring your message. God, allow me to be clean, God, that I can be used. Father, open up your word to us, God. Give me the power and the authority, Father, and the anointing, God, that I need, Father. I love you and thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This has been one of them sermons that I have been thinking about and going to sleep at night thinking about, waking up and thinking about, but thinking about God using people and God using me. And then when I begin to think about God and him being who he is, God being holy, God being righteous, and God being just God, and to think that God would use sinners like me and you, I thank God for that. I know myself better than you know myself. I know my shortcomings. I know my failures. I know all those things. But to think that God would take me and use me, and God would take you and who we are. But it's amazing that in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul gives us five different names for the Christian. In verse number 1, he says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He first uses the word son. In order for God to use you, you first of all must be one of his. In order for God to use you, you must be saved, born again. And then also, whenever, if you want God to use you, you've got to be in that role as if God is the father and you are the child. So he addresses them as son, one who is a believer and one who is under the authority of the father. In verse number 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." So he uses the word son and then uses the word soldier. Now, if you know any good soldier, they follow the commander. They fall in line. He says to be a good, he says endure hardness as a good soldier. He says in order to be used by God, you need to fall in line behind Christ. Allow him to lead you and endure hardness. If you have been alive any amount of time on this earth, you understand you will face hardness. You will face difficulty in life. It is part of life. We live in a sin-cursed world that will face hardships. He says, stand as a good soldier. That means take your orders from God. God will give you direct orders. God has placed people in your life that are maybe over you as far as authority. God has placed you, and as a good soldier, you are to fall in line and to follow that. God gives us an amazing instruction book. It's called his word. He gives us this book here that can, that we can digest the things of God. We can chew on the things of God. He says, be a good soldier. Verse number 12, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So not only a son, a soldier, but also a sufferer. You will face things for Christ's sake. You will face ridicule. You'll face maybe not a physical persecution. Maybe people will talk about you, think different about you. But you know what? You will not stand before them one day and give an account. You will stand before an almighty God and give an account. And I would rather God say, well done, Jason, and be pleased by, and God be pleased with me, than the world be pleased with me. So you will suffer things. And also verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A son, a soldier, a sufferer, and a student. For God to use you, you've got to know about God. You've got to be one that wants to jump into his word and get close to him. If I want to know Brody, what am I going to do? I'm going to get close to Brody. I'm going to ask him questions. We're going to communicate back and forth together so we can get to know each other. How do we communicate with God? Through his word and prayer. He wants a student, and he'll be the teacher. You want God to use you, you need to be acquainted with his word. I know a lot of times in my life, the first thing I would put down back in the day was prayer and the Bible. Oh, I know that story. I know that story. But God wants to teach you something every single moment you want. If you want it, God will teach it. God will show you things in His Word. I can assure you that God's Word is not dead. It is fully alive. It is fully well. And it's good. So He wants a student. And then also in verse 24, He wants a servant. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. A servant must not strive. One that doesn't entice arguments or doesn't want to argue and be argumentative. He said He wants a servant. In order for God to use you, you've got to stop arguing with God. Amen? A lot of times God will tell you things and God will instruct you. And you, well, not today, Lord. Or maybe another time, God, no. If you want God to use you and God is directing you, you can't argue with God. Understand, we are His child. We are His son or daughter. We are under His authority and must submit to Him as being a servant. So we'll go into verses number 20 through 22, which will be the runoff verses. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we see that in order for the master to use you, there are some things that God said you will endure and go through. So let's look at what kind of person that God will use, or what kind of person that God wants to use. The first thing I think God wants to use is a walking person, which means someone who walks with God, who walks close with the Lord. You see, if you're so far out and you're not close to God, God cannot use you. God can bring you back in and use you. But for God to use you, you need to be walking with Him. You need to be talking with Him. You need to be in communication with Him. In Proverbs 18:24 says this, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." So it is a friendly walk. It is a friendly walk. Also in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it's a faithful walk. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That should be an amen verse right there. To know that your work that you're doing for God is never, ever in vain. No matter how simple it seems to you, if you're doing it to God and for His honor, nothing is in vain. God sees every single thing, whether it's picking up some trash on the floor, whether it's doing yard work, teaching, whatever it is. If you're doing it to God, God said that work is not in vain. God sees every single thing you do. So child of God, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being faithful. Praise God. Someone got saved this morning in Sunday school. There had to be a teacher there to teach. People had to come. Stay faithful. No matter what you're doing, God will see what you're doing. And God will reward those people who do those things. So we see that it is a friendly walk, a faithful walk, but also a fruitful walk. Hebrews 11:5 says this, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony." He had this testimony that he pleased God. He had a testimony that pleased God. So if you want God to use you, you've got to have a testimony that pleases Him. If we would examine our life, how's our testimony? Is it one that we could say, "God, look at it, it's right here," and He would say, "Please," or would He say, "Jason, I need some of that area done, fixed up, I need some of that"? Is it a walk that pleases God? Now, we're not sinless. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be. But that desire in your heart to please God. David messed up, but he said, God said he had a desire after his own heart. He had a desire inside of him. We're gonna fall. We're gonna sin. But where's your desire at? If you have that burning desire to be used of God, to have that walk with God that says, hey, I'm pleased with you. Jason, I'm pleased with you. Do I have that testimony? Do you have that testimony? So not only do we see a walking person, but also we see someone who was willing to worship. In Psalms 29:2 says this, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You see, we worship God to give him the glory of his name because he is worthy. And if God is not worthy, then don't worship him. But if he is worthy, then you give him worship. Some people cry tears. Some close their eyes. Some say amen. Some shout. Whatever you're doing, worship God for who he is. Give him the glory that he deserves because of what he's done for us. We see also in John 4:24 says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And you know, I wondered a long time ago, like, well, why would anybody else worship him another way? I didn't get it. But as I studied, you see, there were some people called the religious people who would worship and wanted everybody to see it. Hey, look at me worship, because I'm closer to God. He says, don't do that. He says, what you do for worship is because you're in spirit and you're in truth. None of your worship should bring glory to you, but always to God and what he's done. You glorify and magnify him. But see, in those days, there were people that would gauge their closeness with God. Oh, he's loud. He's close to God. He's shouting. He's praying the right prayer. He's wearing the right thing. They must be close to God. No, that's foolishness. You're spirit and in truth. No glory to yourself, but all to God. Amen. So it was a work. It was a walk. A person that worshiped. Mark 10:45, one of my favorite verses. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Son of God came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to everybody else. If you want God to use you, you must be one that's willing to give up and sacrifice. You've got to be someone who will give up time, will give up sometimes their time in life as far as like with family and friends. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. But for God to use you, you've got to be willing to minister to people and not think that because, hey, I'm one of God's best people they got, you know, they need to minister to me. No, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came down to this earth to minister to people, not to be ministered to. He is our example. If he's the King of Kings, he was in heaven. He came down to give us an example. He came down to the lowest of the lows and served whoever. Those people that they threw out, Christ went to. He went to it. So if you want to be used by God, you must be willing to sacrifice. And then also, you must be submissive. 2 Chronicles 7:1-3 says this, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the houses. Verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. When they saw what God had done, they submissively gave himself over to worship. And they began to bow down to God for what he had done. And they began to look at what he had done and said, wow, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. We can all look at our life, and I call it them God moments. When only God stepped in. That's the only way it could have happened. God stepped in and God done something. Whenever you want to be used by God, you got to be willing to submissively worship Him for what He's done for you. Do you know other people, when you get up and give a testimony, they're listening? And they see what you're doing and what you went through and how you're pushing on. Or when you come down here and pray, they're watching you. You tell them how good God's been whenever you've been through something and God brought you out of it. They're watching you. And God's using that. Every single thing in your life God can use to bring honor and glory to Him. If you went through something and God brought you out, praise God for it. Bow down and worship Him, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. When they saw what God had done and how good He was, all they could do was just bow down upon the pavement and say, God, You've been so good. You've been so good to me. I can look on my life. There's been times in my life that God's just been good to me. Every day I think of things that God's been good for me. I mean, I have clothes, I have a house, I have a good family. I mean, things I don't deserve. God's been good to me. God's been good to you, amen. And to be used by God, you gotta be willing to worship Him for what He's done for you. And tell other people what God has done for you. I'm gonna tell you right now, one of the greatest things I can see is whenever somebody gives a testimony of how God brought them out of something. Or somebody, God saved their soul out of something. God done something. Keep on telling people what God has done for you. Have you forgotten? Have you forgot those times in your life where God just picked you up, put you on your feet, dusted you off, got you back up? Remember those times? Tell them about it. Tell this world who was there for you. Tell your neighbor who's been there for you. There's people going through things that are relying on you and what you've been through, and they can hear it and say, wow, so-and-so went through this, and they got through it. I can do it. You can never go too far that the grace of God cannot reach down and save you. Amen. You can never slip up too much that God cannot put you back on the right track. Right. You can't go too far for God. You hear me? You can never go too far for God, from God's reach. So we see that they were submissive. But also, to be used by God, you must be a willing person. Isaiah 6:8 is an awesome example. He was willing. It said in Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Amen. To be used by God, you must be a willing person. Lord said, who's going to go? Who am I going to send? He said, here I am. Here I am. To be used by God, you must be willing to, first of all, take a stand. Right. He was willing to take a stand. God was calling. He said, here I am, God. Some of y'all saying, well, I mean, I don't know if I could do all that. No, you probably can't, but with God you can. Yeah. There'll be times that God will tell you something and through the Holy Spirit, and you'll say, nope, I can't do that. And you're exactly right. But with God, you can. Yeah. I gave an example earlier in early service about me becoming a preacher. I mean, that's pretty wild to me. Like, I just don't understand. Like, that's pretty amazing because as a kid, I was extremely shy. Even up into high school, as far as in front of people, extremely shy. And obviously, you can see that I sweat a lot, right? Same thing when I was a kid. My son's the same way, right? Same thing, right? And then also, I talk real fast, right? So, had all those things going against me. And we would do like a test in school and stuff, and I would get in front of the class and go to present my article, whatever it is, paper, and I would see the whole room start spinning. Like, I was so nervous, I see the whole room start spinning, so I just quit. And sometimes, and I hate to say this, but it got to a point that I get so nervous in high school that I would skip the class because I was so nervous. I couldn't do it. And then to think that, you know, around 21 years old, I decided to do Jason's own thing and got myself into Myrie Muck. And done things that I'm so embarrassed of, but praise God that he still delivers. Amen. God delivers. Amen. And to think about all that, and then to think that when in 2011, God began to pull my heart on preaching, I'm thinking, you, Lord, I mean, I'm not going to question you, but you've lost your mind a little bit on that one. I mean, you've lost your mind on that one. And he began to continue to hit my heart, continue. I'm talking about conviction. And finally, one Sunday night, I said, Lord, I said, all right, you know I can't do this. And I still can't do it. I still can't do it without him. Can't do nothing without him. It'll be all in vain if I just spoke to you without God. It would all be in vain. But I remember telling God, I said, Lord, I said, you know, I'll do it, but I need you. And every time he's been there for me. Amen. There'll be times I have no idea what he's doing or how he's doing it. But God's faithful, guys. God is so faithful. If you're willing to be used by God, I can assure you, I know everything about you. And my wife can agree. There is nothing special about Jason Fink. But God called me. And when God called me, you had to be willing to accept God's calling. To be used by God, you got to be willing to accept what God is doing. He was calling on Isaiah. Who's going to go? Who will I send? He stood up and said, here I am. Send me. You see, God is calling some people today to stand up and say, I'll go to my classroom. I'll go to my work. I'll keep on teaching that class, or I'll do this for you, Lord. But you got to be willing to let God use you. So he stood up, he took a stand. And also, whenever you are willing to be used by God, you got to realize that sometimes you will suffer different things. Whenever he stood up, he was just saying yes to God. I'll go. Understanding what he was going to face. He was going to, you know, face some sufferings. Sometimes being used by God, you will face different sufferings in life. Whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's your job, whether whatever it is. But I can assure you that serving God, there comes this thing called peace and joy. Although your life might seem upside down because things are coming to and fro, if you're serving God, there's a peace and there's a joy that comes on you that no matter, although we don't understand what's going on, and everything is kind of just going around like a tornado, we have a peace in Christ. That's where our hope is found, right? My hope is in the Lord, right? It is a hope that we can cling on to. So I understood that he took a stand. He knew that he was going to suffer, but he also knew that he was going to serve. When someone is willing to stand and to suffer, they also need to be willing to serve. That's what it's all about, serving God, serving others. And I'm going to tell you, this is one thing about this church that I've always loved. Since the moment I come in, it's a loving church and a serving church. I noticed that from the very beginning when I come in here. It's a loving church and a serving church. So to be used by God, willing to serve, and also sometimes willing to separate. He was calling in Isaiah. He was calling out, who will I send? He boldly stood up and separated himself, said, send me. Use me. He was willing to be separate. Sometimes serving God, you got to be willing to be separate. You got to be willing to be different. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. That means we're weird. We're different. We're different people. You got to be willing to be separate. To separate yourself and say, God, use me. I ain't much, Lord, but you made me. Now use me. Amen. So we look. Also, Christ and God wants to use someone who is a weeping person. Psalms 126:6 says this, he that goeth forth and weepeth, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, weep for. What he's saying is that the illustration of someone planting a garden. And if y'all have ever done that, I made the mistake 2 years ago. Don't know what we were thinking to do a garden. And I had no idea. I mean, I've heard stories about it. And I picked tomatoes before and that sort of thing. And nothing like this, right? So we get this little garden thing, and it's probably a 20 by 10. You know, we had a tomatoes, cucumber, watermelon, had all the stuff, okra, corn, right? Well, we live in Gold Hill, and it's some hard ground over there. So, I mean, we're over there, that tiller going, and rocks flying up, and I'm like, man, this is terrible, right? So then we're over there, and then we're raking, and we're hoeing, and it's tough. Right, then planting the plants and all that, planting the seeds, and then every day watering, pulling weeds out. I mean, it's tough stuff, right? And then that's the illustration here. He's saying that you'll go through these things of planting those precious seeds, serving God, and it's tough. It's heartbreaking. It's backbreaking. It's a lot of labor involved in it. But you're planting those precious seeds. And he says, you'll be able to come back again and rejoice whenever you're able to bring in the product. Amen. You see, as you're planting those seeds, and yes, that work of hoeing, tillering, pulling those weeds are tough. And if you do that, thank you for my vegetables now. Because I don't do it, but thank you for doing it. Amen. It's hard work. But he's saying, same thing with walking with God. Sometimes you're like, man, what am I doing? I'm just hoeing. I'm just pulling weeds. What's going on? No. He says, you'll be able to come back in a little bit. Keep working, and you get to see those vegetables come out. I'm going to tell you, we first saw those things coming up, and those tomatoes started popping out green, then red. I mean, just it's amazing. The watermelon, the cucumbers, wow, it was amazing. All that work, yes, it was tough, but then I got to come back again and see the benefit of it. Serving the Lord is like that sometimes. You're like, man, all I'm doing is tilling the ground. Praise God. All I'm doing is pulling up weeds. Praise God. Still do it. There'll be that day you come back and say, wow, look at that person saved in Sunday school. Look at that person getting right with God. Look at my family back together. I've been praying for that. I've been doing that. Thank God you got my wayward son back and my daughter back. Praise God. You get to see that and rejoice in that, although it's tough right now. Pulling those weeds, keeping those bugs off. It's tough. But you get to come back in a little bit and see the result of what God's doing. So it must be one that continues to weep over the sick, the saints, and the sinners. You know, the one thing I realized, and I can get an amen from, because I don't think the first service believed me, Landon, when I told them. But I realized as I got older, my body doesn't, I can't do what I used to could do, right? Right? All right, so Landon and Brody and Daniel's my witness. I thought about last Wednesday, I made a mistake. I was going to go up there and jump and grab the rim out there, right? I'm in my jeans and my church shoes, and so I jump up there, and I grabbed the rim, didn't I? Grabbed the rim, right? But I felt my whole body go, like just pull, my whole body. And I said, oh, and I'm going to tell you, it still hurts, right? Right? But we realize as we get older, we get sick, right? As we get older, we face things in life, things that I thought I never would face when I was a kid. I mean, I was jumping off my garage onto a trampoline when I was a kid. Like, just, you never thought about that. But now it's like, I better be careful about even walking down through here. You know, I might pull something, right? I mean, that's for real, right? As we get older, you start to hurt things. Same way with us. We get older, we get sick. We start hurting. And although, you know, right now maybe you're going through something or maybe you're not, we should always be weeping over those that are sick. Have a compassion for those that are sick. There are some people that it physically is hard to get to church or to get out. We should still be weeping over them. What I mean by weeping is crying out to God and asking God to help them, give them the comfort, give them the peace. Because realize this, there'll be a time, maybe in my day, that I'm in the same position, that I might be, you know, a bad back or you know, a bad knee or whatever, or bad health. So I'm going to need somebody else praying for me also. So never forget about those that are sick, those that are hurt, those that are going through something. And also weeping over the saints. You know, one of the greatest things is comfort and prayer among God's people. And if we have a desire, if first of all, if we know some of us, child of God, is going through something, and we all just pray for that person. I have the youth every Wednesday stand up and hold hands. And I tell them to pray for the person beside of you. Because prayer is huge. Amen. And whenever you pray for somebody else, I think it's amazing. And they grab hands and pray for the person beside of them. And they have no idea what they're going through, but they pray for them. We should have that same attitude toward the saints of God. Pray for them, weeping over, a compassion for them. Christ always had compassion. No matter what who he was facing, he always had compassion. Everybody else said, send them away. Christ said, no, they're in need. I'll help them. Never lose your tears for the lost either, the sinners. When's the last time you've wept over someone who was lost? I believe that's our job, is to have a compassion for those that are lost. There was a time in your life that you wasn't saved. There was a time in my life I wasn't saved. We've all been lost. And I can assure you there was some prayers going up by somebody. God, just save them. Lord, send the Holy Spirit and save them. Never lose your tears and your compassion over sinners. Think about it. It could be your daughter, your son, your grandkid, anybody. Your aunt, uncle. Realize we could all be in that position. We could all be lost, but praise God for his grace. He sent his son to die and sent the Holy Spirit to convict you, and you accepted it. Praise God for that. Never lose your compassion for the lost. This world don't need any kind of programs. They need Jesus. We want all these different programs, and God, they need Christ. Before we got saved, we were the same way. Correct? They need Christ. And who's the arms and feet of Christ? We are the church. Never lose your compassion and your tears. Maybe God brought some up to your mind. Hey, that person in your life is lost. You've been thinking about them. Don't give up. They wayward. Don't give up. Keep praying. You're looking right now at the prodigal son. Right? God's faithful. And God hears your prayers. And although you want to give up and you want to give in and throw the towel in, don't do it. Satan wants you to doubt God's word and God's promises. God's given you a promise. God's given you different promises to hold on to. Don't stop now. Never lose that compassion that God can. God can. God can still do it. If God can save me and you, God can save that family member. So don't stop. So God also wants a weeping person. And lastly, God wants a working person. We see in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this. He gives a call to work. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wow. Do you understand? First of all, you're his workmanship. In order for somebody to work on something, they got to get their hands on it. You understand you're part of God's workmanship? He has saved you. Not for our purpose, but it says he has saved us according to his own purpose and grace. Wow. So when God saved us, God desires to use us for his purpose and his grace. You understand what I thought was amazing was, first of all, he saved us. This next little phrase in 2 Timothy 1:9 says, and called us with a holy calling. God has called you to a higher calling. He's called you with a holy calling. Something that far exceeds all any other calling there is. He's called you to a holy calling that God could use you for His own purpose with His grace. Wow. So the God that created everything, who has the power over everything, has chosen to save you and then have a holy calling on your life for His purpose, His grace. Praise God. That should make you never, ever put your head down like you're a nobody. If you're a child of God, you've been saved, you've been called with the holy calling, and you've been called for His purpose, praise God. That should get you to say amen. Amen. God's got something for you. That should never be like, I'm a nobody. God. No. God's called you with the calling that is so holy and above any other calling. All I do is watch nursery. Praise God. God's put you in there to get those kids up. Amen. All I do is teach Sunday school. Praise the Lord, you teach Sunday school. All I do is come in here and be faithful. Praise God, you're faithful in church. God has called you in different areas, and your calling is different. But you got to be willing to be used in your calling. God has equipped this church tremendously. There are people out here that are tremendous. Workers, talented musicians, teachers. God has equipped you. Keep doing what you're doing. You might say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. God sees every single thing you do. God hears every little prayer you pray. Lord, be with the service tomorrow. Oh, God honors that. Lord, will you save my brother? Will you help my coworker? God hears all those prayers. God, will you use me? God hears all those prayers, and God wants you. He wants someone who is willing to work. And it's not always the easiest, but it's the most fulfilling. I mean, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will tell you to do some of the craziest things sometimes. Like, you know, go talk to that person, or go talk to that person, go pray with that person. You're like, Lord, you, I know you're God and all that, but that's a little out of my league, right? No, it's not. Sometimes you'll say, well, I don't know. You say yes. You want God to use you. You want God to bring you up as the best father, the best mother, the best husband, the best wife, the best teacher, the best Christian man, the best Christian woman, the young youth. You want God to use you and bring you up and God show you. God's willing to use you, and God wants to use you. But the question is, are you willing to be used from God? I've seen it so many times that people will say, well, I want God to save me, and I want to keep this part of my life to myself. God can have this portion, but I'm keeping this portion. God wants all of it. God already owns it all. God wants all of it. And I can assure you, and I will testify to this, that when you see no way, God makes a way. When you're like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but it's going, but it happens. I remember as I believe it was Braden was born. He was a baby. Might have been Berkeley, but anyway, my wife went out of work for like 6 months, and then she had the baby, and then she's out another 3 or 4 months, whatever it was. So we was out. She's out of work for a long time, and I remember thinking, we're on the last tub of formula. I mean, Lord, we ain't got no money. We're on the last tub of formula. And then either my parents or Sheena's parents will pull up in the driveway.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There it was.
Amen.
There was times whenever we put Braden in Grace Academy and we had him up there and we didn't want to pull him out and then we didn't have the money. Next thing I know, somebody paid for it.
Praise God.
I'd go make a payment and they would say, somebody paid for it. I have no idea. I don't know why God would do that. I knew that I had a desire to serve the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, I'll go wherever you call me. I'll do whatever you do. I don't feel like I'm worthy to do it, but God used me. And I've seen God show up in my life in ways that I don't understand. I even question God, like, why would you be so good to me? I'll question God. God, why? I don't deserve this. My family don't deserve it. Why are you being so good to me? I don't deserve it.
Hallelujah.
And then God says, you're mine, son. I might face the hardest week next week, but God's still God, and God's still good. And I can rely on what God did for me in the past and what he's doing now, that when I face those things, I can rely on those things. Hey, God, you brought me through there. You can do it again. So my question is to you today is, do you want God to use you? First of all, you must be saved for God to use you. You know, I've heard it said plenty of times, God doesn't have any grandchildren or any great nephews. He has children. You can't ride on the coattail of anybody else. You can't be saved because your parents are saved. You can't be saved because you're in church. There has to be that relationship with Christ. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. God can save anybody in here today. You say, well, Jason, I've done some bad things. Guess what? Your sins are covered, but you've got to accept it. All the things you've done before in your life has been paid for, but you've got to accept it. So to be used by God, first of all, you got to be saved. And then you got to be willing to swallow. Okay, God, whatever you say, use me. Miss Vicky, God, use me. If we'd all stand. This is your time to respond to God's message. This is your time to reflect on what God has talked to you about. Whatever the Holy Spirit has hit your heart with, we open these altars up to come and pray. Maybe you want to pray at your seat. It doesn't matter, but you respond to God. You want God to use you? You want God to use you? Page 634. Mind the Holy Spirit, guys. Mind the Holy Spirit.